All right, praise the Lord. This is Tony, Pastor Tony Alamo, and we're reading through the Bible. We're in 1 Kings chapter 22, and there are 53 verses in this chapter, and so we won't be reading King James Version and translation. We'll just go through the translation, and you out in radio land there can be reading from your King James Version, and you'll be able to see that the translation is the same and possibly more explanatory than the King James Version, because the King James Version uses a lot of Old English. And also, we have two letters, one from Vandalia, California, and the other one from Africa, right?
Or Missouri.
Vandalia?
Missouri.
Missouri, okay. Yeah, Missouri. That's where the women's prison is out there. And then the other one from Africa?
Yes.
All right. And then also, we have the Part 10 of the fullness of the, receiving the fullness of the stature of Christ. And right now, let's go up to the throne and ask the Lord to anoint with the outward anointing and anoint it and work himself inwardly to where there's more of his life living and working in and through us, so that we will have more joy, more happiness. The joy of the Lord is our strength, Father. And so therefore, these messages bring more joy to us and give us more strength to be able to endure the critical situation that we're in here on this earth. Yeah, we praise and thank you for your Holy Spirit that guides us and gives us the answers and teaches us all things. We have the Bible, the Word. But you said, Jesus, that you would teach us all things in these last days, such as things that are not mentioned in the Bible, things that are not answered in the Bible, as to where we should go. The Spirit leads, and guides, and directs us. And so this is what we'd like for you to do today, Lord, is to anoint the 22nd chapter of 1 Kings and part 10 of receiving the fullness of the stature of Christ, and everything else that's done on this tape, Lord, let it be anointed into every heart, soul, mind, and spirit of every listener in Radio Land. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone says a mighty amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Okay, where's the first letter from, Michelle?
From Malawi, Africa.
All right, let's hear it.
Dear our beloved brother in Christ, Pastor Tony Alamo, World Pastor, receive our warm and joyous Christian greetings and God's blessings to you all and your ministry. Thank you very, very much for your one direct mailbag of tracts and holy Bibles for free distribution. We had a very nice crusade in three countries of Africa with my group of 50 men 2 weeks ago. About 367 people got saved.
Also, wow, that's amazing. 367 people. Well, you know, you see a lot of people where they have these big crusades where they're not really teaching much, but a lot of people come forth. You see it on television. But where are they? Are they distributing literature on the streets and everything? No. A lot of them don't really learn the fullness of salvation. They don't learn that they must be, after they accept Christ, they're resurrected from the dead, and they vow to let the old man be buried with Christ in death, the death of the cross, which is baptism. And they are not aware or knowledgeable of the ascension, or they're sitting with Christ, reigning with him and for him, to bring about the fullness of the kingdom of God here on this earth. And so they just leave them without this knowledge. And many of them, I'm sure, must be saved, but they need to know what full salvation is. It's death on the cross. Our old man must, the old life must be gone and done away with. And the Holy Spirit does that. It mortifies our former life. It mortifies the members, our flesh. And it mortifies all the deeds and temptations and things that will come to people while they're still living in this world. And then we're immediately resurrected to the new life when Christ enters into us, and then we, whether you know of it, you're knowledgeable of it or not, you should be sitting with Christ in heavenly places. But you have to learn your position in the kingdom of heaven is with Christ. You're a position of authority and power and authority and dominion. And the Lord wants His church, His bride, His body to have the same authority He has. The head, what good is it for our head to have authority without the rest of our bodies having authority as well? So what good would it be for Christ to have authority without having His body, giving His body, passing on to His body the authority that He has? So that's what the Lord saved us for, is to take power, dominion, and authority over the things of this world. Now, when God first gave that authority to Adam, He had power over everything, including every creeping thing, the birds in the air, the fish, the animals, and everything. But when Adam sinned by his wife Eve, then they no longer have power and dominion over the different elements, all the different animals. Like, for instance, we can be stung by mosquitoes. Amen? Mm-hmm. We can be aggravated with fleas. There are lions and tigers that could eat you up if you get involved with one of them. Many times, bulls have gored bullfighters. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
So they, in fact, if you get too close to some of them, out here in Los Angeles, there's a man that got in a cage with an ape, and the ape just bit his neck, a whole chunk out of his neck, and he died instantly. And dogs, mad dogs, and animals, we no longer have power and dominion over the animals, or the fleas, or the mosquitoes, or birds will come down and eat you up if you die. Sharks have killed many people before. And it's just so that power and dominion and authority over all everything is gone. But when we accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, and we are dead, our former lives are dead with Him on the cross, and we're resurrected with Him and ascended, we realize what ascension life is. This is all part of salvation. And we're reigning with Him, and this is part of salvation. Unless you're realizing these things and have full knowledge of all these different positions and levels of salvation, well, then you're not, you're outside of the body still. You need to be fully in the body, reigning with Christ. And then when we receive this, then we have power and dominion over animals. Again, a mad dog can be rushing you if you're really sitting with Christ. And you can say to that dog, depart from me, the blood of Jesus is against you. And that thing, that dog will turn away. All right? I'm not saying that you go out, because the curse is still on people. We still have to die after you're saved. But your spirit is going to go on and go to heaven, and your body will be redeemed. And so there's still a curse there, and women still have to go through the problems they go through. That doesn't end. Just as a reminder of what happened in the Garden of Eden, and that God's word is absolutely true. I mean, the lion was laying down with the lamb. Adam could go up and put his arm around a lion. They wouldn't touch him. There was no mosquito bites then, and all the other things that I mentioned, and poisonous snakes and scorpions could never bite you or kill you back then. And the Lord says that we have power and dominion over these things now. Amen?
Amen.
For instance, a snake, a poisonous viper, bit the Apostle Paul. A serpent that kills instantly. And he shook it off into the fire, and the people started thinking he was a god on this island where they were shipwrecked. But he told them no, that wasn't so, that he was just an apostle of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so, but anyway, I have to explain these things because I've asked for the Lord to take over this tape, and that's what he wants me to say. So now go ahead with the rest.
Now, therefore, in Jesus Christ's name, try to send us one large box of tracts for free distribution.
My dear friend, my brother, we never try to do anything. We always do it. Jesus didn't try to get on the cross. He did it. And he didn't try to walk in the Spirit. He did it. He didn't try to do God's will. He did it. And that's why anyone that can say that they're trying to do God's will or they're just doing the best they can, that isn't good enough. You have to do the best that Christ can in you. And he overcame everything. And if he's in you, you're more than a conqueror. You can do all things in Christ. Amen?
Amen.
So I'm sure that this literature has already been sent to you because I've instructed our mailroom to just send everything in the way of tracts or Bibles to whoever asks. Okay, then what else?
We are expecting again to have another crusade in Africa. Please pray for us with our great work which we have got here in Africa. And we are still praying for you and your great work which you have all around the whole world, as you are still sending free gospel materials to every ministry all around the whole world. God bless you all and give you peace. Your brother in Christ, Pastor C.R.C. from Malawi, Africa.
Praise the Lord. Okay, now the next letter from Vandalia, Missouri.
Yes. Dear Pastor Tony Alamo, thank you for all the literature that I received. I have found it to be very helpful. Ever since I've been reading them, they have brought very good spiritual healings upon me, and my children seem to be loving me more now that I am reading God's Word more. When I get out of prison, I plan to be baptized because I truly believe that I have been born again.
Yeah. Now, see, that's true. Once you accept the authority of God over you, then you have the authority of God. And people will respect you if you have the authority of God, because they know that you respect God's authority. For instance, when Moses, when the people would, Dathan and all the others would rise up against Moses, he didn't take it upon himself to start rebuking the people before he fell on his face before the Lord and cried out to him to find out what it was that the Lord, how it was that the Lord wanted him to handle this situation. Because he showed that he believed in authority of God over him. And therefore, people respected his authority over them. Because, but not Dathan and some of these other people. Now, when he did seek the counsel of the Lord of how to handle that situation, the Lord told him. And when Moses did what the Lord told him to do, and that showed the whole congregation of approximately 1.5 to 3.5 million people that Moses had the authority over everybody in that camp, because, and that he had God's authority. And the only reason that he had God's authority was because he respected God's authority over himself. And so people, when they see that you respect God, just like this woman's children, now that she's reading the Bible more, they have more respect for her because they see that she believes in the authority of God. Amen?
Amen.
And so therefore, they respect her, and they're going to start doing what she tells them to do, because she's saying, I believe in the authority of God, and I'm keeping his commandments. And a son or a daughter or whoever, you'll keep, I want you to do this and to do that, and they listen to her more. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so you have to respect the authority. No one in the body of Christ has authority unless they believe in the authority of God over them. That comes first. You must first be under the authority of God before he gives you authority. If you don't respect what he says, and you don't do what he says, you'll never have authority over, and no one will ever respect you, because you haven't even got authority over yourself. We must discipline ourselves to be disciplined by the Holy Spirit. God Almighty, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
And we must worship them in spirit and truth, which worship him in spirit and truth. And the way to do that, worshiping is also means also serving him, and taking time out every day and throughout the day to just seek his advice, his counsel, his guidance, his leading, his knowledge, his wisdom, and in the Bible as well. And then you'll have the authority of the Lord. Other than that, you don't have any authority. How can anyone respect anybody that doesn't respect the authority of God? Amen?
Amen.
Look at all the people that don't respect president, different presidents. Now, throughout the whole Bible, it talks about the political system throughout the whole Bible, Old and New Testament. So when we speak about the political system, it's in the Bible. Well, there's no way that Christians could preach the Bible unless they preached the way that the Lord said the political structure would be in the last days. And so the political structure today, or which is satanic, we know that it's not of the Lord, will do everything in its power to stop people from preaching the Bible, because it mentions how the political structure of the world in the last days would be just before Christ comes back to earth again. So if people wonder why, you know, we talk about the political structure, you couldn't be a Christian and not talk about the political structure. You couldn't be a student of the Bible without knowing the political structure today and in the past. In the book of Daniel, it tells that there would be a one-world government just before Christ comes back to earth again, and that the Rock of Ages, Christ himself, would come down and destroy it, grind it to powder, because it's totally against anyone preaching the Bible, which tells of the political structure. You say, well, you can't mix politics with religion. Well, it's not right. Well, but, you know, the Lord, there's no way that you could possibly be a Christian and preach the truth, which is the whole Word of God, which is Christ. And you couldn't believe in Christ if you don't believe the Word of God, because the Word of God is Christ, unless you believed everything that he said in the Bible regarding the political system. And so the structure today. And if you didn't believe in the authoritative political structure of God, we all have the different levels of our standing or our post or position in the body of Christ. We're to actually be subject to the Holy Spirit. And the Bible also says we're to be subject one to another. Amen?
Amen.
Just like our whole body parts are subject one to another. Amen?
Amen.
We can't deny that our eyes or the nose or the mouth or the ear, well, they're all subject unto one another. Amen?
Amen.
That's what the Bible says. And so if you're going to be a Christian, don't knock it, you know, the talking about the system. Otherwise, you would not be able to rat on the devil, or you would never be able to tell when the Lord's coming back to earth again. The way the political structure lines up today shows us that the Lord's coming back to earth very soon. And first, before this, we're going to see many major plagues. Now, the things we've seen in the news with these tsunamis and earthquakes and viruses and plagues, all kinds of pestilences, all of heart disease, leukemia, cancer, and all these things. These are all part of the pestilence, and it's on a upswing. So I could go on forever with that, but you know, you can refer to my literature and other tapes. All right, so praise the Lord. I just love it that this woman now receives the authority of God and the dominion of God over her and the power of God over her. And so therefore she now is accepting power, dominion, and authority. So now she has power, dominion, and authority. You cannot have power, dominion, and authority without receiving the power and dominion and authority or of the Lord over you. Isn't that a simple formula?
Yes.
All right, praise the Lord. As long as that is reached home, well, then we'll continue on with her letter. It's just, this is just absolute proof of that. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
When I started reading your literature, it picked me up. I truly want to live for the Lord, and thanks to you...
Yeah, that's the power, the authority, and the dominion of the Spirit it has over you, and she's received it. And now her sons and daughters, or whoever her children are receiving it too. They're listening. Their ears light up, you know, when she speaks. Then what?
I truly want to live for the Lord.
And nobody loves a drunken mother or dad or a weakling that's on drugs or into homosexuality or lesbian. And nobody has the respect for people like that. It's like people that don't care about respect, or some pornographer or somebody that's into stealing or robbing people or killing people. And, you know, there's a law of God that is not done away with. Every unsaved person that and other person that says they're a Christian and doesn't keep, after they've been given the power to keep the law, they don't keep it, they fall back under the law again. Jesus said, I didn't come to destroy the law. He came to fulfill it. And in us, we're able to fulfill the law as well, because he's the fulfiller of the law, and we must, the old us must die out and then live the life, or let Christ live his life out in us, and therefore he will not sin in us, I can assure you of that. Okay, if Christ is living out his life in you, then I can assure you, you're perfect, all right? Because there's no imperfection in Christ. All right, and Christ is God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Is that simple?
Yes.
Okay, then what?
I truly want to live for the Lord, and thanks to you, I can do that. When I get out, I would like to stay in touch with you and even visit your church. I thank you for your uplifting literature. Keep praying for me to continue to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior.
Not only can you visit, but you could actually be part of the church. You could move in if you really want to serve. Sounds like you want to serve him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And we could use help with people like you. All right, and then what else?
Your sister in Christ, V.D. from Vandalia, Missouri.
Praise the Lord. Doesn't sound like she's in prison. It sounds like she just lives here in Vandalia. All right, so praise God, or else she wouldn't be able to fellowship with her children that much. Okay, so much for those letters. They're very, very encouraging, and God bless you all of you, you two people that sent these letters in, and everyone that sends in letters wanting to share your experiences with others regarding your experience in eternal life with the Lord. Okay, now we go to 1 Kings chapter 22 with the 53 verses, and Sharon, you can start reading from the translation on that.
Okay. Jehoshaphat and Ahab. Translation, verse 1. For 3 years there was no war between Aram and Israel. Verse 2. Then during the third year, King Jehoshaphat of Judah went to visit King Ahab of Israel. Verse 3. During the visit, Ahab said to his officials, quote, do you realize that the Arameans are still occupying our city of Ramoth-Gilead, and we haven't done a thing about it? Exclamation mark, unquote. Verse 4. Then he turned to Jehoshaphat and asked, quote, will you join me in fighting against Ramoth-Gilead, unquote. And Jehoshaphat replied, quote, why, of course, exclamation mark. You and I are brothers, and my troops are yours to command. Even my horses are at your service, unquote. Verse 5. Then Jehoshaphat added, quote, but first let's find out what the Lord says, unquote. Verse 6. So King Ahab summoned his prophets, about 400 of them, and asked them, quote, should I go to war against Ramoth-Gilead or not? Unquote. They all replied, quote, go right ahead, exclamation mark. The Lord will give you a glorious victory, exclamation mark, unquote. Verse 7. But Jehoshaphat asked, quote, isn't there a prophet of the Lord around also? I would like to ask him the same question, unquote. Verse 8. King Ahab replied, quote, there is still one prophet of the Lord, but I hate him. He never prophesies anything but bad news for me, exclamation mark.
Yeah, in other words, the truth is bad news to most of the people in the world. And they just don't like it, but truth is, if they repent, they enjoy all the same things that we do, and they won't be jealous anymore. Okay, then what?
His name is Micaiah, son of Imlah, unquote. quote, "You shouldn't talk like that," unquote, Jehoshaphat said. Quote, "Let's hear what he has to say," unquote. Verse 9, so the king of Israel called one of his officials and said, quote, "Quick," exclamation mark, "go and get Micaiah, son of Imlah," unquote. Micaiah prophesies against Ahab. Verse 10, King Ahab of Israel and King Jehoshaphat of Judah, dressed in their royal robes, were sitting on thrones at the threshing floor near the gate of Samaria. All of Ahab's prophets were prophesying there in front of them. Verse 11, one of them, Zedekiah son of Kenana, made some iron horns and proclaimed, quote, "This is what the Lord says, with these horns you will gore the Arameans to death," exclamation mark, unquote. Verse 12, all the other prophets agreed, quote, "Yes," they said, "go up to Ramoth Gilead and be victorious, for the Lord will give you victory," exclamation mark, unquote. Verse 13, meanwhile, the messenger who went to get Micaiah said to him, quote, "Look, all the prophets are promising victory for the king. Be sure that you agree with them and promise success," unquote. Verse 14, but Micaiah replied, quote, "As surely as the Lord lives, I will say only what the Lord tells me to say," unquote. Verse 15, when Micaiah arrived before the king, Ahab asked him, quote, "Micaiah, should we go to war against Ramoth-Gilead or not?" unquote. And Micaiah replied, quote, "Go right ahead," exclamation mark, "the Lord will give the king a glorious victory," exclamation mark, unquote. Verse 16, but the king replied sharply, quote, "How many times must I demand that you speak only the truth when you speak for the Lord?" unquote. Verse 17, so Micaiah told him, quote, "In a vision I saw all Israel scattered on the mountains, like sheep without a shepherd. And the Lord said, their master has been killed. Send them home in peace," unquote. Verse 18, quote, "Didn't I tell you," the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, "he does it every time. He never prophesies anything but bad news for me," unquote. Verse 19, then Micaiah continued, quote, "Listen to what the Lord says," exclamation mark. "I saw the Lord sitting on his throne with all the armies of heaven around him, on his right and on his left." Verse 20, and the Lord said, "Who can entice Ahab to go into battle against Ramoth-Gilead so that he can be killed there?" There were many suggestions. Verse 21, until finally a spirit appeared. The spirit approached the Lord and said, "I can do it," exclamation mark. Verse 22, quote, "How will you do this?" the Lord asked. And the spirit replied, quote, "I will go out and inspire all Ahab's prophets to speak lies," unquote. Quote, "You will succeed," unquote, the Lord said. "Go ahead and do it," unquote. Verse 23, quote, "So you see, the Lord has put a lying spirit in the mouths of your prophets, for the Lord has determined disaster for you," unquote. Verse 24, then Zedekiah, son of Kenana, walked up to Micaiah and slapped him across the face. Quote, "When did the Spirit of the Lord leave me to speak to you?" unquote, he demanded. Verse 25, and Micaiah replied, quote, you will find out soon enough when you find yourself hiding in some secret room," exclamation mark, unquote. Verse 26, King Ahab of Israel then ordered, quote, "Arrest Micaiah and take him back to Ammon, the governor of the city, and to my son Joash." Verse 27, give them this order from the king, quote, "Put this man in prison and feed him nothing but bread and water until I return safely from the battle," exclamation mark, unquote. Verse 28, but Micaiah replied, quote, "If you return safely, the Lord has not spoken through me," exclamation mark, unquote. Then he added to those standing around, quote, "Take note of what I have said," unquote. The death of Ahab, verse 29. So the king of Israel and King Jehoshaphat of Judah led their armies against Ramoth-Gilead. Verse 30. Now King Ahab said to Jehoshaphat, quote, "As we go into battle, I will disguise myself so no one will recognize me, but you wear your royal robes," unquote. So Ahab disguised himself, and they went into battle. Verse 31, Now the king of Aram had issued these orders to his 32 charioteers, quote, attack only the king of Israel, exclamation mark, unquote. Verse 32. So when the Aramean charioteers saw Jehoshaphat in his royal robes, they went after him. Quote, there is the king of Israel, exclamation mark, unquote, they shouted. But when Jehoshaphat cried out, verse 33, the charioteers realized he was not the king of Israel, and they stopped chasing him. Verse 34, an Aramean soldier, however, randomly shot an arrow at the Israelite troops, and the arrow hit the king of Israel between the joints of his armor. Quote, get me out of here, exclamation mark, Ahab groaned to the driver of his chariot. I have been badly wounded, exclamation mark, unquote. Verse 35, the battle raged all that day, and Ahab was propped up in his chariot facing the Arameans. The blood from his wound ran down to the floor of his chariot, and as evening arrived, he died. Verse 36, just as the sun was setting, the cry ran through his troops, quote, it's all over, return home, exclamation mark, unquote. Verse 37, so the king died, and his body was taken to Samaria and buried there. Verse 38, then his chariot was washed beside the pool of Samaria, where the prostitutes bathed, and the dogs came and licked the king's blood, just as the Lord had promised. Verse 39. The rest of the events in Ahab's reign and the story of the ivory palace and the cities he built are recorded in the books of the history of the kings of Israel. Verse 40. When Ahab died, he was buried among his ancestors. Then his son Ahaziah became the next king. Jehoshaphat rules in Judah. Verse 41. Jehoshaphat, son of Asa, began to rule over Judah in the fourth year King Ahab's reign in Israel. Verse 42. He was 35 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 25 years. His mother was Azubah, the daughter of Shilhai. Verse 43. Jehoshaphat was a good king, following the example of his father Asa. He did what was pleasing in the Lord's sight. During his reign, however, he failed to remove all the pagan shrines, and people still offered sacrifices and burned incense there. Verse 44. Jehoshaphat also made peace with the king of Israel. Verse 45. The rest of the events in Jehoshaphat's reign, the extent of his power, and the wars he waged are recorded in the book of the history of the kings of Judah. Verse 46. He banished from the land the rest of the shrine prostitutes, who still continued their practices from the days of his father Asa. Verse 47. There was no king in Edom at that time, only a deputy. Verse 48. Jehoshaphat also built a fleet of trading ships to sail to Ophir for gold, but the ships never set sail, for they were wrecked at Ezion-Geber. Verse 49. At that time, Ahaziah, son of Ahab, proposed to Jehoshaphat, quote, let my men sail an expedition with your men, unquote. But Jehoshaphat refused the offer. Verse 50. When Jehoshaphat died, he was buried with his ancestors in the city of David. Then his son Jehoram became the next king. Ahaziah rules in Israel. Verse 51. Ahaziah, son of Ahab, began to rule over Israel in the 17th year of King Jehoshaphat's reign in Judah. He reigned in Samaria 2 years. Verse 52. But he did what was evil in the Lord's sight, following the example of his father and mother, and the example of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, who had led Israel into the sin of idolatry. Verse 53. He served Baal and worshipped him, arousing the anger of the Lord, the God of Israel, just as his father had done.
All right, that was 1 Kings chapter 22 with its 53 verses, translation, and now we have commentary.
22 verse 6. These 400 prophets may have been the 400 Asherah priests left alive by Elijah at Carmel, although 450 prophets of Baal were killed. See chapter 18 verses 19 through 40. 22 verse 7. Jehoshaphat knew that there was a difference between these pagan prophets and the, quote, prophets of the Lord, unquote. so he asked if one was available. Evidently, Jehoshaphat wanted to do what was right, although Ahab didn't. However, both kings disregarded God's message and listened only to the pagan prophets. 22 verse 10. Threshing floors were placed in elevated areas to allow the wind to blow away the discarded hulls or the chaff of the grain. 22 verse 15 through 16. Why did Micaiah tell Ahab to attack when he had previously vowed to speak only what God had told him? He was speaking sarcastically, making fun of the messages from the pagan prophets by showing that they were telling the king only what he wanted to hear. Somehow, Micaiah's tone of voice let everyone know he was mocking the pagan prophets. When confronted, he predicted that the king would die and the battle would be lost. Although Ahab repented temporarily, 21 verse 27, he still maintained the system of false prophets. These false prophets would be instrumental in leading him to his own ruin.
You know, this is a one-world government today. According to the scriptures, you know, all the evil kings of different heathen people that were, or countries that were in power at certain times, all of them even allowed the prophets of the Lord to guide them, such as Daniel and Joseph. This government, the world system today, is so wicked and evil that they don't consult true prophets of the Lord to guide them in the things they do. And that's why the Bible stated that in the last day there'd be perplexity of nations, that the kings of the earth and the leaders would be mad. That means insane. Okay, go ahead.
22 verse 19 through 22. The vision Micaiah saw was either a picture of a real incident, or some people thought it would be a parable of what was going to happen. It did happen on earth, so it was a vision of the Lord, which was illustrating the seductive influences of false prophets would be part of God's judgment upon Ahab. 22 verse 23. So the Lord sent a deceiving spirit. The Lord didn't deceive him, but the deceiving spirit did. He loved to be deceived, so the Lord tells us, those who deceive, they will deceive and be deceived.
All right. If you... Well, go ahead. It's going to go a big thing here. Go ahead.
22 verse 22. Symbolized the way of life for those prophets who told the king only what he wanted to hear. 22 verse 20 through 22. Does God allow angels to entice people to do evil? This was an evil angel, and he obviously did. This evil angel understands evil. In order to understand, you must first understand God. One, God himself is good. He loves, but he's also hate. He's also wrath. And he also is a rewarder of those who do good and those who do evil. Read Psalm 11, verse 7.
And many other scriptures. Then what else?
Two, God created a very good world that fell because of Adam's sin. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Three, someday God will make a new heaven and a new earth, and it will be filled again. Revelation chapter 21, verse 1. Four, God is much stronger than man, and he's much stronger than evil. Matthew chapter 13, verse 41 through 43. Revelation chapter 19, verse 11 through 21. 5. God allows evil, so he wants to see if we're going to choose good or evil. He makes us free moral agents to do either one. Thus, he has control. God did not create evil, some people say, but he said that he did. And he offers help to those who wish to overcome evil. Matthew chapter 11. Evil is when you fall into it. Chapter 11, verse 28 through 30. 6. God uses everything, both good and evil, for his good purposes. Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. Romans chapter 8, verse 28.
Right, he also uses heaven and hell for his purposes. For his purpose, he puts all the good the righteous people in heaven and the evil ones in hell and the lake of fire. So everything is done by the Lord. Then what?
The Bible shows us a God who hates all evil and will one day do away with it completely. Actually, evil began with Satan, but the Lord knew all about it from the beginning and forever. Revelation chapter 20, verse 10 through 15. God does not entice anyone to become evil. Those committed to evil, however, may be used by God to sin even more in order to hurry along their deserved judgment. Exodus chapter 11, verse 10. We do not need to understand every detail of how God works in order to have perfect confidence. The mystery of the Lord is becoming more and more revealed. God is not a mystery anymore. We need to have confidence in His absolute power over everything, including evil, and His total goodness toward us.
All right, that was chapter 22, 1 Kings 53 verses, translation and commentary. And now we have part 10 of the fullness of this, receive the fullness of the stature of Christ. Go ahead.
Knowing the body as far as experience is concerned.
This is a very short message today, and this, go ahead.
Part 2. Knowing the body is a thing that most people, most Christians, don't pay any attention to.
Well, they don't know one body part from the other. They don't know their post or their position in the body, and they don't really care. It's just that they think that they're going to get by with carelessness. To care, they don't care. They just think that's unimportant. The main thing for them is, what are we going to eat? Where are we going to sleep? How much money can we get? And what can we do today to have fun? Or where can we go to have good food? Or where can we have, what's on TV? But they don't care anything about the structure, their post, their position, and their standing in the Lord. And they don't care about their full salvation or reigning for Christ. Okay, then what?
They don't realize that this is a high level of Christianity.
Yeah, the highest level. Then what else?
And you need to know the body. That is, that it is not a doctrine which you will learn by someone speaking to you or hearing it.
Right, you don't know the church. The church structure, the bride of Christ, the New Jerusalem. Then you can't just hear it on paper. You have to be a part of it. You have to be a living member of the body, the one body. Then what?
You need to know the body, that it is not a doctrine which you will learn by someone speaking to you or hearing it, that you may understand it. So knowing the body is a result of a lot of experiences which you learned in the past.
Yeah, and experiencing situations in the church, such as the environment. There's all kinds, many people in the church that you find hard to, that is hard for you to get along with them. But these are people that have, are there, if they're saved, to bring you into the death of Christ on the cross. Everyone is in the position that they are in the church, the body, the bride, for a reason. Then what? Then, like a lot of people, they say, I don't like the way my nose looks. But you don't cut it off. Amen?
Amen.
Or my ears are too big. But you don't cut it off. I mean, the hair, that's enough. Amen?
Amen.
Or maybe, you know, you've got something wrong with your eyes, but you don't pluck them out. Or then you might limp. You don't cut the leg off. You learn to live with the different aggravating things that will be wrong with your body, and it's doubtful that there's anyone that doesn't have something wrong with their body. Well, but in Christ we all have the Spirit, and in Christ we have the power to be, and the authority and the dominion to be able to cope with all people in the church, all body parts, and to be able to do and to live a victorious life around them. In Jesus' name, in the name of Jesus. Then what?
It takes time.
It takes time for you to be able to learn to do that, to concentrate on what your position is in Christ, and for you to receive the fact that, or to receive the dominion of the Lord. It's to surrender yourself completely to the Lord, to where the things that ordinarily aggravated you do not aggravate you any longer. Like children have a hard time listening to their parents. It's aggravation to them. And children are that don't listen are an aggravation to their parents. The Bible says that you're never a prophet in your own home, because some of the young children, they see strong people in the Lord disciplining others in the house or so on, and they think that that's wrong. That's their carnal opinion. And so therefore they lose respect for power, dominion, and authority. And they don't have any, even though they may know that it's of the Lord, the things that their parents are doing, they still lose respect. So they will go to someone inferior that is not as, and I'm not saying that inferior is that there's anyone that's inferior in the body of Christ, because we're all one body. But the Apostle Paul said that there are some parts of the body that are uncomely parts, and that we have to pay more attention to those uncomely parts, like your, than we do the other parts of our body. Like our head, our face is supposed to be the most comely part, or maybe our physique. But there's parts of our body that are uncomely, and they need more attention. And so a lot of times your children can be, or other people that are close to you can be like uncomely parts, but you have to pay more attention to them than you would somebody else or any other member of the body of Christ. Then what?
You must first have to pass through all these experiences before you can know the body.
We have to die out, right? You have to deal with the flesh, the self, the I, the me, your opinions, your ideas, and put them under subjection to the word of the Lord. And your spirit has to be under subjection to the Lord so that it can pass through the soul and the flesh to cause the body to do the things that the Lord says to do as well. Then what?
Then you come after a long time to know the body of Christ, the church, each member of the body.
Because you're getting along now, because with the power of God, you're able to cope with all their little problems, but still you don't accept the different problems. As a pastor, you have to rebuke and reprove them that would possibly cause people to fall away from the Lord if you allow them to continue on doing the things that they're doing. So, and people get aggravated with that the pastor, if they're of the Lord, are constantly reproving and rebuking people and also commending them as well. Which is a rarity. Then what else?
When you go to visit a place that's well known, like London, Paris, Los Angeles, New York, Cleveland, you need to travel a certain distance. So after a while, you arrive at your destination and see the object of your journey, what it is. You see everything that is there, that you've heard of and seen on television or wherever, in pictures. It's the same thing with knowing the body. If you want to know the body and touch the reality of the body or the church, you must be inexperienced. You must walk a certain distance and climb certain mountains and walk in valleys. I mean spiritually, in the eternal life walk. You must start from scratch, from the experience of the clearing of the past, and pass through the experiences of dealing with sin, Satan, the world, and the conscience.
Your flesh, you know, death, hell, and the grave. Then what?
And you can climb diligently from one level to the next. You must be severe with yourself in learning the lessons of the body, one step at a time.
One day at a time, also. Then what else?
Especially in dealing with the flesh, the self, and the natural constitution, and walking through the spirit to where it doesn't get contaminated.
No, walking with the spirit through the through the soul and the flesh, so that you come forth, and Christ comes forth, you and Christ come forth, and to be able to do a work and cause the body to do the work. You're allowing God's words to come out of you, and also God's work. And what? And then also this is called walking in the Spirit. And what else?
And to where it doesn't get contaminated by the soul and flesh.
Right. The Spirit must come forth, and the soul and the flesh must be mortified by the Spirit of the Lord. Then what?
Only when you have experienced the first of these stages of your spiritual life and attained to this high level will you naturally arrive...
This high level of spiritual eternal life, or the fullness of the stature of Christ, then what?
Will you naturally arrive at the place where you can know the mystery of the mystical body of Christ, the Church. Any spiritual knowledge, in reality, cannot be gained without experience. Everything is based on experience.
Right, that's why I said the things that you're learning from these messages, then you'll listen to them 6 months from now, 3 months from now, a year, 2 or 3 years, and you'll marvel because you'll say, I never knew that before, because it's possible that you're not really, I know that a lot of you are not able to receive the things that are being said to you now because you've never lived, Christ has never, God has never, the Holy Spirit has never live these things out in you yet. God has not. When he has, then he has worked himself into you and is able to do his work in and through you. Then what?
True spiritual knowledge does not go beyond the lessons that you have experienced. Now, there are many examples, but here is one. You may read the Bible truth, of which you cannot really fully grasp the meaning of, because you have never experienced it. Therefore, you are limited in that particular experience of what you're reading about. All you have is a small feeling or conception about it. But if you follow that feeling and try to experience it, the truth would eventually become experienced to you that would enlighten you. On one hand, the truth brings in the experience. The Word of God brings in the experience. And on the other hand, because of the experience, you begin to know much better the truth of the Word of God. In this way, you come to true spiritual knowledge. It takes patience. It's not like reading the Reader's Digest and you know something. You're not going to advance faster than your experiences.
All right, praise the Lord. That was the fullness, receiving the fullness of the stature of Christ, part 10. And tomorrow, we're going to be, the Lord has directed me to go into the New Testament, which will be the overview or the introduction to Romans. And I don't know, maybe able to get chapter 1 in as well. That is quite a lengthy thing. And then also we have the fullness tomorrow of receiving the fullness of the stature of Christ, part 11. And so until then, this is Pastor Tony Alamo. You already know to pray always, pray without ceasing. And remember, don't balk at learning the political structure of the Lord and parallel it with the political structure of Satan that you see. You'll be able to see it when you read it in the Bible. You'll be able to experience, I'm sure there are millions of people that are experiencing what I've been teaching for years now. And you'll know what to do. The main thing is just witness, testify, bring people into the fullness of the knowledge of Christ. So till tomorrow, God bless. This is Pastor Tony Alamo saying God bless you and praise the Lord. Amen.